This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers, my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, it's the 12th day of the month of Ramadan. So we'll be going through the 12 juz of the Quran, inshallah. For the most part, we'll be sticking to, we will be pretty much entirely sticking to Surah Hud. We do go into half of Surah Yusuf in the next juz, in the same juz, but we'll see how much time we have, inshallah. And if anything, then we'll just go through certain points of Surah Yusuf tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, I'm wearing a mask, and that's because my nose has been running today and my nasal cavity is a little bit congested. So, alhamdulillah, I've done a COVID test that's negative, alhamdulillah, but I've been hearing quite a few people who have tested positive. I just found out of another two people right now before Salah. Who've been with us here for every single night throughout the month of Ramadan, who tested positive last night. Two families were in my office the day before yesterday, both families tested positive. So just trying to stay a little bit safe, trying to make sure we get through this month of Ramadan in one piece, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for every single one of us to have good health and strength, and to grant us complete and full forgiveness, and to accept our efforts and struggles throughout this month of Ramadan, and even after it. Ameen. So with Surah Hud, we'll jump right into the sixth verse, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out the fact that He is the one who provides for all of His creation. He says there is no moving creature on earth. There is no moving creature on earth whose provision is not guaranteed by Allah. And He knows where it lives and where it is laid to rest. All is written in a perfect record. So my brothers and sisters, our rizq, our provisions, what is meant to come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to us whether we work for it or not. Now that, having said that, that doesn't mean that we are allowed to sit back and do nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us to tie our camel, then have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in work hard, do what is needed, take whatever necessary means you need in order to provide for yourself, look after yourself, protect yourself, right? All of these things are important for us to do physically, and then put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't want us to just sit back and go, oh, Allah's going to bring food and, a platter is going to come to us. We are not from the Anbiya or, like Maryam alayhi salam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on her. Beautiful fruits of the opposite seasons being given to her in her, her little niche where she would go to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't get that. That doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't provide it for us. Okay? While at the same time we say that we don't get it, that does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot give it to us. Allah looks after all of His creation, regardless of where we are. And this is what He's saying. And He knows where it lives. He knows where every single one of us live, where we go, what we do, who we interact with, what we're earning, what we're spending, and so on. And He says, He knows where it is laid to rest. You'll see sometimes stories of people who are trapped somewhere, survived. How? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Many times you hear stories in case, hiking or, skiing or, somewhere, and they got stuck, whether in an avalanche or in a cave in the Rocky Mountains, they get stuck and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them and they end up being rescued and they're still alive. Where human beings would say it's impossible for someone to stay alive, It is possible. Nothing is impossible. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for something to be, it will be. Okay, that is something that we need to believe very strongly in. And you know, subhanAllah, one of the brothers was in my office the other day, and we were talking about rizq and provisions, and he was giving an example of what he told one of his friends, that, you know, at the end of the day, whether I work hard or I don't work hard, whether I go all out and, you know, change cities and move somewhere else, my rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is written, right? It will come to me. So I just have to keep doing what I need to do. And you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings sometimes, you know, things from places like, this is a perfect season, right? All the accountants, they tell me they're working really hard. And all the brothers and sisters who are getting a tax, you know, rebate or getting some sort of refund, alhamdulillah, when that comes in, it's like Allahu Akbar, right? Where did this come from? Well, alhamdulillah, it was our wealth to begin with, right? We paid it in taxes and it was returned to us at a later point in time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts things off. And the rizq is not only in money. Rizq is not only in money. Provisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you have good health, that's a provision. Because the person who doesn't have good health would trade everything that they have for good health. Right? When we say time is a provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people have time to sit and to learn about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people say, I don't have time. They have the same 24 hours than everyone else does. The same 24 hours. But the difference is, what are we doing with that time? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in time. So for some people, they will get one thing done and finish it off in 10 minutes. And another person will do the same thing, and they're equally skilled, but it'll take them a half an hour to do. There's barakah in our time. And barakah comes in different places as well. Sleep. Some people sleep. You know, one brother was telling me during Ramadan, he sleeps 2 to 3 hours every single night, and he's fine. You know, 2 to 3 hours, he gets up, he goes to work, alhamdulillah, he's good. The whole month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in some people's sleep. And then some of us, we sleep, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe even more hours in the day, and we're still tired. And we still want more sleep. Right? It's like, oh, I didn't get enough. I need more. SubhanAllah. There's barakah in that. Food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us food. That's a provision. And in the food as well, there's barakah. You'll notice sometimes for iftar, you eat a little bit and you're full. Alhamdulillah, you're good. And you don't even think of food. It's like you fasted all day and you just had this small amount. Alhamdulillah. And then you see other people, they fasted the same amount of hours as us, but their plate is like this big and they finish all of it. It's like, SubhanAllah, where's that food going? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in certain people's food, right? And the more we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more He will give to us in terms of His provisions. We move on to verse number 25 to 49. Now, throughout the rest of Surah Hud, we see examples of many of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to start with the example or the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, which we find in this surah. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ Nuh alayhi salam was sent to his people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that he said to them, indeed, I am sent to you with a clear warning, with a clear message, right? That you should worship none but Allah. I truly fear for you the torment of a painful day. Of course, that is if they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in verse number 27, the disbelieving chiefs of his people, right? The chiefs of the tribe, of the town, what did they say? They said, we see you only as a human being like ourselves. And we see that no one follows you except the lowest class or the lowliest of people amongst them, who do so very quickly without thinking. We do not see anything that makes all of you any better than us. In fact, we think you are liars. So what are they saying to Nuh alayhi salam? You're a human being just like us. Now that in itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that intentionally. He chose from amongst the people, prophets and messengers. So every single one of the prophets and messengers are from human beings. They're not like some superhuman extraterrestrial creation that came from another galaxy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose human beings to be the people that will convey a message to their people. Why? Why? So we can easily understand, okay? Why else? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose human beings to be the prophets and messengers of Allah? Why not angels? Why not some extraterrestrial being? Why humans? Okay, we'd be more comfortable interacting with them, okay? Yes. Good. That whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us through the message that came from the prophets and messengers is possible for human beings to do. It's possible for us to pray five times a day because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being who prayed five times a day. It's possible for us to fast for 30 days. If it was some extraterrestrial being or let's just use an angel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He sent an angel, we would use an excuse and say, we're not angels. It's hard to fast for 30 days. But He fasted for 30 days, so we fast for 30 days. He went and struggled, and so we are able to struggle. He stood in the night, so we can stand in the night. He memorized Quran, so we can memorize Quran, right? He looked poor, so we can look after the poor, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose people who were from their people to be the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the first mistake that they said that they made, was that you're just a human being like us. Like, there's nothing special about you. In addition to that, they say that the lowest of people are the ones that follow you, but they do so very quickly without thinking. So they're not really using wisdom. They're not wise people. They're uneducated people, right? Is that true? No, because I look around here and I know that everyone in front of me is very well educated, alhamdulillah. So that doesn't mean that only the uneducated people follow the ways of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But that was the excuse that they made. Now the reality is that sometimes when we become too fixated on this dunya, right, and we rise in status in the dunya, we start to feel invincible. Like someone who's a CEO, you know, take example of like Elon Musk, right? Someone who's alive today, who's very wealthy, who can put money anywhere and control so many things. He could send a tweet out and control millions, billions of dollars through saying a simple statement. You know, like, oh, I'm switching over to Signal. You remember that last year, right? Leaving WhatsApp and switching to Signal. All of a sudden, everyone was like, oh, we're going to Signal. What Signal? No one knows where it is, what it is, where is it from, who built it, you know, what's the purpose behind it. Everyone was like, well, leave Facebook, leave WhatsApp, right? Everyone is just going wild and crazy, like, because the person said something, but then everyone started to follow. And it was like, oh, this is good. But what happens is there was nothing, no truth backing it. There's some truth to it. I know the IT guys are going to like counter it and be like, oh, there is some truth to it. Yes. In the end, everyone just went back to WhatsApp. But that shows how someone can reach a certain status and say, I don't care what you do, whether you do it or not, this is what I'm doing. And then they go and they do things and everyone just follows. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us sometimes the people who are not considered having status in society, don't undermine them. Don't treat them as though they're useless and nothing. They have them as well. Sometimes their wisdom is better than the wisdom of those who are of higher status. And that is so true. We see it, that simplicity in life sometimes shows us a more clear way of moving forward in life. And then what they say is, we don't see anything that makes all of you any better than us. Arrogance. Like all of a sudden there's this whole element of arrogance that comes in. You know, there's nothing about you that makes you better than us or better than you anyways. So this message you come with is useless and pointless. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you know, that Nuh alayhi salam, in fact, in Surah Nuh, we see it at the end of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out that these are the first nation of people that committed shirk, the first nation of people on the face of the earth that started to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and we'll see that in the 30th, sorry, in the 29th juz of the Quran. If we move to verse number 38, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, so Nuh alayhi salam began to build the ark. And whenever some of the chief or the leaders of the people passed by, they used to mock him and make fun of Nuh alayhi salam. And he said, if you laugh at us, we will soon be laughing similarly at you. You're laughing at us now. It's okay, you can laugh. But what we're following is divine. And that goes for any nation that followed the message that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people laugh at us. And people say, oh, you guys are backwards from some other, country, some other culture, some different way of life. You stop and pray 5 times a day. Why do you stop and pray? You wash your feet. Why do you need to wash your feet? You had socks on all day. Why do you need to put your feet in the sinks? They laugh at us. But the reality is alhamdulillah, this is good. I got a call yesterday from Halton District School Board. They're having an issue at the elementary schools. Too many Muslim students are making wudu before they pray. That's the issue. Too many Muslim students are making wudu before their prayer time. So they're given a designated prayer space, right? And when it's time to pray dhuhr at school, too many elementary school students are going and making wudu before they pray dhuhr. And there's a lot of water that's going everywhere and they're putting their feet in the sinks. This is a problem. We need to solve the problem, they're saying. So inshallah, I have a meeting with them to show them that there's no problem to solve. And there are some ways around it. Yes, maybe the students can, wipe over their socks in order to save time, or maybe there can be a mop that's, and the students can clean up after themselves, or some sponges or something. But this is what Muslims do to prepare themselves. It's not a problem. It's good. We're clean. We're people who think of others. Now, if they're leaving the place in a mess, that's a different story. But the reality is that, people look at us and think, you guys are weird. You do these weird things. Why? Why do you need to go and wash yourself? Just go and pray. No, we need to be clean before we pray. And so people laugh at us now. But the reality is that who's going to be laughing later on? When we submit to Allah and we take time away from, all the luxuries and the pleasures that people have of this world, that of course, majority of them are haram, like gambling, doing things that are wrong, and this is drinking up, and just enjoying life. That's not enjoyment of life. That's actually bringing more harm to life and the life of others. And so in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing through the story of Nuh alayhi salam, they were mocking him, but he told them, if you laugh at us, we will soon be laughing at you as well. And you will soon come to know who will be visited by a humiliating torment in this life and overwhelmed by an everlasting punishment in the next. And he says, and when our command came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the flood came and the oven burst, he calls it the oven, the earth is the oven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا وَفَارَ التَّنُّور. Tannur is like you, tandoori chicken, right? Tandoor, in Arabic you say tannur. Okay, so when someone says this bread was baked in the tannur, it's tandoor. It's the same thing, just that there's a dal in or is it dal? Right, alhamdulillah. I would just say a D. But yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it like the oven of the earth, right? Like this thing that's exploding. When you open the oven, when you're baking at home or someone is baking at home, and the oven is on at 350 degrees, and you open the oven, what do you feel? Heat, like unbearable heat, right? And it's contained within the oven. The moment you open it, it comes out. The same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using that as an example, that the water was contained within the earth, and he tells the oven, the earth, to open up. And the water just gushed out of nowhere, just like the heat comes out. You're like, where is this coming from? That's how it was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the water out from the earth. And we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he said to Nuh alayhi salam, take into the ark, the ship, a pair of every species along with your family, except those against whom the decree to drown has already been passed, those who disbelieved. So take a pair of every single one of the creatures that you can find, every animal, male and female of every single animal, and whoever from amongst you believes, and those who, but none believed with him except a few. How many years did Nuh alayhi salam call his people to worship Allah? 950 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, 1,000 years less 50. 950 years. 950 years. Like when you think of that and you compare it to today, where, you know, some da'wah movements and organizations, or even people, some da'is, right, du'at, that go and give da'wah. Sometimes you'll see their videos and they're like, oh, this year we gave shahada to 400 people. Or I remember one year I was living in Malaysia and I saw one statement, 4,000 people embraced Islam through one person. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But one of the biggest problems is follow-up. There's usually no follow-up. So give the shahada, someone says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and move on. Like, wait a second, who's going to teach this person? Who's going to educate these people? What prayer is about? What to say in prayer? What time is prayer? How to prepare for prayer? You know, who's, when to pray? All the things to do with salah and fasting and Islam and all the principles and things that we need to learn. This is important. So it's not about the numbers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. It's not about the numbers. Because in 950 years that he was calling his people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many people actually did follow him? 10 or 12. No, not 10 or 12. More. Around 80. Very good. Roughly 80 people. Now, how many people is that per year? Or decade? Or century? How many people per century? It's not even 10 people in every 100 years. Not even 10 people in 100 years. Quality over quantity. That's a key principle in our deen. Quality over quantity. Imagine giving da'wah to people, to your people, to the, just think of the town of Milton alone. And you living in the town of Milton with everyone else who's here for over 900 years, for over 1,000 years. And you're calling these people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years. And in 950 years, not even every house on your street. It makes you probably start to question yourself and be like, you know, something's wrong with me. I'm not doing a good enough job. You know, maybe I'm not Muslim enough. Maybe my iman is weak. Something's wrong with me. But this goes to show that hard work and dedication is needed. And it's not about the numbers. Don't look at the numbers. Even when we do fundraising, I tell people all the time, don't look at the numbers. Allah will give, if you're sincere and genuine and your community needs something, you will get what your community needs. And if you're not sincere and not genuine, and even if everyone gives so much money, you will never get what your community needs. And I think we see that reality sometimes, right? Like some communities, I remember, I've traveled many places, but just thinking of Canada, I remember I visited one of the cities in Canada, and I won't say where. And that city is small, but filled with many, many wealthy people. Like the average salary at the time, the average starting salary was roughly about $300,000 in that Canadian city. That was the average starting salary, right? From what I was told. And the imam was telling me, we have a lot of wealthy people, but there's no barakah in the wealth. There's no barakah in the wealth. He's like, so many wealthy people, and they still don't have enough money. They go, you know, their vacations are to Las Vegas to gamble instead of going like for Hajj and Umrah, right? They spend their money on things that shouldn't be spent on, just seeking pleasures of this world. And when they do fundraising, they fundraise and they get a lot of money. They get a lot of money. Like the masjid they built is, subhanAllah, crazy. It's crazy big. really big, you know, in the tens of millions of dollars. But I remember the Imam, every time I meet him, he tells me there's no barakah in the wealth here. There's no barakah in the wealth. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at numbers. He's looking at quality over quantity. How well did you fast today? Not how many days are you fasting throughout the whole year. Someone might be fasting the fast of Dawood alayhi salam, every other day, fasting, fasting, fasting. But their days of fasting are filled with cheating and lying and backbiting and stealing and taking advantage of others and not doing their prayers and just going about, you know, boasting and, you know, bragging that I fast every other day. I fast every other day. And that person is just, you know, showing off. It's useless, pointless fasts, right? Quality over quantity. Someone else who, you know, is genuine and sincere might fast one day extra in the whole year. And that one day is more valuable than the person who fasts every other day but boasts about it. That one day of fasting. So this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, rewards us. When you think of the reward on the Day of Judgment, when you see rewards, will the rewards have weight to them? Like the bibaqa, the example of the card that I told you about, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as the hadith of the bibaqa, the card, where that one card says La ilaha illallah and is placed on the scale. It outweighs 99 scrolls of sins. Each scroll, if it's unrolled, goes to the end of the horizon. But that one card outweighed it. So that shows us that one deed, if it's done right, can be so heavy on the scale, as opposed to thousands, tens of thousands, millions, billions of good deeds that are worth nothing if you just blow and fly away, like fluff from the feather, from the pillow. And I always ask, what's heavier, a pound of stone or a pound of feathers? Alhamdulillah. I tricked some of you, right? What's heavier, a pound of stone or a pound of feathers? They're the same. They both equal 1 pound. But which one has more? The stone is just a small stone. A pound of feathers might be a big bag. There's more feathers than there are of stone. But that stone is heavier, or is you know, in itself. If you take one stone and one feather, the stone outweighs the weight of the feather. And all those feathers can easily be blown away, but the stone stays firm. And if it blows, it doesn't go anywhere. Example of the one good deed that's drawn, that's done with sincerity, that is, you know, heavy on the scale. So Nuh alayhi salam, he calls his people, he builds the ark. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he said, board it in the name of Allah. وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها إن ربي لغفور رحيم. Board it in the name of Allah, will sail and cast anchor. Surely my Lord is all forgiving, most merciful. And then the ark sailed, right? And it went through the waves, and the waves were like mountains. And Nuh alayhi salam called out to his son, you know, who was about to drown in the water, who was away from them. And he says, oh, my dear son, come aboard with us. And don't be from amongst those who disbelieve. And he replied, it's okay, Dad. Sa'awi ila jabalin. I'm going to swim over to that mountain over there, which will protect me from the water. And Nuh alayhi salam cries out to his son. And he says, today, la asim al-yawma min amrillah, illa man rahim rabbi. Illa man rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today, no one is protected from Allah. No one is protected from Allah. His decree is planned and fixed. Nothing will waver from it. You cannot escape. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today no one is protected from Allah's decree except those to whom he shows mercy. And the waves came between them. And his son was among those who drowned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the earth, O earth, swallow up your water. Right? Now the water is going to go back into the earth. Right, swallow up your water. And he tells the sky, withhold your rain, stop raining. And the flood water receded, and the decree was carried out. The people who disbelieved were destroyed, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nuh alayhi salam. The ark rested on Mount Judi, right? Mount Judi. And it was said, away with the wrongdoing people. Nuh alayhi salam called out to his Lord. He called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw his son. He says, my Lord, certainly my son is also of my family. Your promise is surely true. And you are the most honest, the most just. The most just of judges. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to him and says, O Nuh, he is certainly not of your family. He's not your family. He disbelieved. It's not your family. Now just imagine how painful that is for any one of us to see our own children leave Islam. Leave the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not easy. But Nuh alayhi salam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is certainly not of your family. He was entirely of unrighteous conduct. Everything he did in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not ask me about what you have no knowledge of. I warn you so you do not fall into ignorance. Now Nuh alayhi salam, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that, you're like, you want to apologize for even asking, right? So Nuh pleaded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, I seek refuge in you from asking you about what I have no knowledge of. And unless you forgive me and have mercy on me, I will be of the losers. Right? He's like, sorry for asking. Right? He accepts what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. And then Nuh disembarks, and you know the story continues, and we'll see more of it throughout the rest of the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of Ad. Okay, Hud and his people, the people of Ad. And they told Hud alayhi salam to bring evidence for his claims. Right? Bring evidence for claim. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Nuh's wife, Nuh alayhi salam's wife as well, was from amongst them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. From the people of Ad, their brother, Hud, showing us again that he was from the people, right? Allah chose someone from the people of that nation. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. He tells his people, once again, oh my people, worship Allah. You have no God other than Him. You do nothing but fabricate lies against Allah. And then he says, oh my people, I don't ask you for a message. My reward is only with the one who created me. Will you not then understand? This was a common message from many of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you'll see mentioned in the Quran. That we don't ask you for anything. We're not doing this for the money. Right? The prophets and messengers, they were conveying the message knowing Allah is going to take care of them. They're not rich, trying to be the kings of the nations of the past. People who ruled their people, they became extremely wealthy and they took advantage of the people. They took their wealth, they charged taxes. You know, they sat on silk and they ate the foods that people would never even see in the towns or in their cities. They ate from the most luxurious of foods and they wore the nicest clothing. Embroidery was probably too heavy for us to even own. Right? So heavy. SubhanAllah. Like they had luxuries beyond belief. Gold and silver and crystals and diamonds. But the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not in it for any of that. They were not there for that at all. And they made it clear that we are not seeking any reward from you. Let me move on, inshallah. We'll go right to... I mean, examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Hud, right? And the surah is named after him and the people of Ad. In fact, in Surah Al-Fajr, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-Fajr, wal-layalin ashr, wal-shaf'i, wal-watr, wal-layli idha yasr. Hal fi dhalika qasamun lidhi hijr, alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Have you not seen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to the people of Ad? Ramadat al-imad. The people of Ad, they built their homes in mountains. And they built their retirement homes on top of the mountains so that they can have a beautiful view. And they used to say, they built their homes there and they said, we will build our homes there and that's where we will spend the rest of our lives. And they used to think that they were going to live forever, that they would live eternally on earth. So they would spend some time, you know, working and so on, living in the mountains where they carved their homes, and then they would retire up on the top of the mountains. Beautiful view. But when they disobeyed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the punishment, who remembers what the punishment was? What destroyed the people of Ad? The strong people that were so big, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Irama dhatil imad. Huh? Wind that created what? Very good. The wind that created a sound. And the sound was so unbearable that it destroyed them from the insides. SubhanAllah. Right? It was so unbearable. Sound. So strong. Sound. We never think that sound would destroy us. But SubhanAllah, that's a reality. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah about Salih alayhi salam and the people of Thamud and the story of the camel, right? The camel that was slaughtered. And they were told not to and to look after it. Then we also see examples from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he receives these three angels, right? The three angels come to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he considers them guests and he roasts a calf. Right, a baby cow, like a young cow, right, less than a year. He roasts the calf for them, nice veal, beautiful meat, right, tender for them to eat. And he realizes they're not eating. Something is wrong. It's like you invite a guest and they don't eat. You're like, here, just eat. Like, yeah, prepared this. We had it cooked for you. Here, eat. And they're not eating. You're like, oh, well, something's wrong here. Like, they refuse to eat the food that we're serving them. Maybe they're here to harm us. And it turns out, the reality is that they were angels. And they told Ibrahim alayhi salam that they were not here to eat. Rather, they're here to discuss who? Who are they there to discuss? The nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What's his name? Lut alayhi salam. They were there to discuss Lut alayhi salam. And they reassured Ibrahim alayhi salam that they came to inform him of the destruction of the people of Lut alayhi salam, but that he would not be harmed. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, he reminds them, you know, from amongst them, Lut is there. He's there. And they reassured him, don't worry, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. And then they inform them of having a child, that Ibrahim alayhi salam would have a child. With who? With which wife? Sarah, good. And who is the child? Ishaq, alayhi salam. So Ibrahim, alayhi salam, had one child with Sarah, and his name was Ishaq. And then Ibrahim, alayhi salam, had a child with who? With Hajar? Ismail, alayhi salam. Very good, alhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transitions from verse number 77 onwards to talking about Lut alayhi salam and how he offered his daughters to the men of the city, like, you know, marry them, marry the women, you know, get married to the women, but they refused. And the people of the town, they came and, you know, they didn't allow Lut alayhi salam to keep any guests in his home. You can't entertain any guests. You're not allowed to, because they felt he would brainwash them and send them on their way. That he would make these people come stay in his house and, you know, tell them, you know, my people are no good. Just leave this town. Don't stay here. And so they forbid him from keeping guests in his house. And then Lut alayhi salam, of course, we know the story, and they were destroyed. And from amongst them was his wife. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Sorry about that. It's the worst thing to sneeze and cough on a microphone. Everyone hears it. Alhamdulillah. Huh? What's coming? Don't say it's coming. Astaghfirullah. and then Shu'aib and his people. And then Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. They're all mentioned and discussed. And then if we jump right to the end or near the end of the surah, in verse number 100 and 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us of those people and how their gods, like all after saying, after mentioning all these nations of people who worshipped idols and people who worshipped stars and moon and, you know, fake and false gods, things that they believed in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after all these stories, how their gods didn't save them or their town from the that came from Allah. They couldn't do anything. Like they used to go and worship and pray and ask for goodness and prosperity and life and provisions, and it did nothing for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed how, you know, this is the ultimate end to those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then tomorrow, inshallah, because we've gone on for 40 minutes already, tomorrow we will begin by taking some lessons from Surah Yusuf, inshallah. Surah Yusuf, like I mentioned the other day, after four rak'ah, this is a surah that has over 1,000 points of benefit. Over 1,000 points of benefit within this one surah alone, right? And the majority of these points of benefit have to do with family. SubhanAllah. So it's a surah that we should all read and discuss and look over. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the health and the ability to continue to do so. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.